It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 172. Wow, two. Coming to you like some smooth noughties pop by the band Blue. More at this point, I think you just want me to sing. System up with the top down, got the city on lockdown. It's very high. Drive by in the low right. Hands high when we fly by. On this week's podcast, we get some financial advice by talking to Owen McGee, the presenter of How to Be Good With Money, to find out if hot tubs really are a good investment.
Spoiler alert, they totally are. He says it's a fact. Dinkies don't win derbies. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She definitely deserves the children's allowance for looking after us too. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional, as your father answering difficult questions with, go ask your mother. We round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, don't matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, wildlife. Nature, your favourite subject, lad.
Yeah, I'm fucking can't wait for this. Horse it up to me.
David said, I remember a lad I know would be partial enough to the old venison steak. He was driving his old Ford Fiesta through a local area where you'd often see deer crossing the road. Anyway, didn't he tip a big old stag one night and said to himself, he couldn't leave the animal there on the side of the road. Poor animal. He was probably thinking of the steak. So, on his own, he heaved the stag into the back of the Fiesta van. A fair struggle by all accounts, but managed and got on his way. A few minutes later, he was driving along and he looks in the rearview mirror. Wasn't the fucking stag looking right back at him? The hoor was only stunned. The stag kicked and bucked and nearly knocked seven shades of shite out of him before he managed to pull over and pop the boot. Out leapt the stag, off to live another day.
You know, stags are wild, man.
Stags are wild.
You know what I mean? There's probably fucking...
Do not try to have a stag in the back of your Fiesta van.
A couple of strippers in there as well. That's crazy stag, man. Martin says, here in Ireland, we have incredible sea wildlife right in our doorsteps, from massive fin whales and mink whales to massive bluefin tuna.
I did not know that there was tuna knocking around Ireland.
Yeah.
So tuna are huge.
Tuna value.
But tuna...
Nah, they're very small. Bit of brine on them. Sunflower oil. In a little can.
Tuna comes in a tiny can.
Yeah.
But it's such a big fish.
Yeah. It's very expensive.
It's so deceptive.
When I worked in the butcher counter, we done tuna like one weekend. You get like a tuna steak.
Yeah.
I fucking eat around 15 euro, 16 euro.
Like. I go away.
I swear to God, it's super expensive. You only cook it in real fast for like 2 seconds. Anyway.
You can't Irish people cremate everything, you know this.
Yeah. Just pure flakes. They may as well just bought the tub for like a euro. Martin says, all summer long down in West Cork there are whale watching tours and I'd highly recommend doing it. If you've looked,
did one of them.
Well?
Threw up 7 times.
To see a whale, surely it was worth it though for the whale.
Didn't see a whale.
See?
And then.
See, you see my reservations with nature?
And then your man, he was like standing up on top of the roof of the little boat and all, and he's like, no, 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 I think there's some over here. And I was like, come back to shore, you come back. I took them tablets. You know, you have seasick tablets now. Yeah. I was lowering them.
Didn't know you got seasick.
Straight back at him, yeah.
Look at your sea legs, lad.
Yeah, I seen a seal, all right. Singing Kiss from a Rose. No, I seen a seal. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da. Well, that's weird for a seal. Martin says, if you look at the page ORC Ireland on Facebook, they have some fantastic pictures to show what it's all about. We also have a good pub. Population of sharks off our coast, predominantly off the south coast, right up the north of Donegal. These sharks are around most of the year. We have a few species of shark, from blue shark right up to mako sharks. Mako sharks? I mean, a fucking...
Mako,
I mean?
Shark, deco shark, anto shark, baby shark, daddy shark. Do what it out to do.
These sharks make an appearance when the weather gets really hot. All these are usually caught and released within 20 miles of our shores. I'll attach a photo of one shark caught off Kinsale, along with a couple of myself with a blue shark and a massive Atlantic bluefin tuna of nearly 400 pounds in weight. Took an hour to get onto the boat. Jesus. All in all, our country's some of the best wildlife and fishing opportunities in the world, in my opinion, that need to be embraced. And he's not joking about the photos, man. Like, I'm assuming the second one is a bluefin tuna. That is humongous. It's taken three lads to lift it.
That's
here.
A shark.
Ah, that's it. Which one's the tuna?
The first one.
Well, that's huge as well. That's probably even bigger, isn't
it? There's three men, and one of them looks like the Bull Hayes.
He does.
And they're carrying this.
I'm pretty sure they're just going to like just going to bone and roll it there. But I just
yeah, they're definitely not dressed for fishing. They're dressed no. for the pub, like. He's one lad's wearing tracksuit.
He's got right. a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah. Another listener says, bit of a tangent on hunting from last week, and more specifically on hunting dogs. Our first family dog was a partially stolen hunting dog. The best kind, do you hear? 1992, I was a baby. But the story goes that my dad was on a Christmas pub crawl with 20 lads from his shift in work after renting a bus. They were on pub 7 or 8, the night was young, and they were only a little bit plastered. Dad loves dogs, and he noticed that there was a young dog behind the bar. So he was sorted for the hour or so where they were meant... What?
He's really into dogs. Yeah,
the lads had their table, and Dad was sat on the floor having the chats with the dog.
Sorry. The fact that he just said, my dad wasn't that drunk. Sorry to tell you, but your dad's on the floor talking to a fucking mutt.
For an hour. My dad was sorted. He'd go in and go, I don't like this place. Oh, dog, I'm sorted.
It's a great pub.
The owner
goodbye.
The owner of the pub started chatting with him about the dog. Dad letting on like he understands anting to do with hunting. And it was a real country man himself, of course. The owner says, she's useless. No good. He was after paying a fortune for her from some breeder who breeds springers for hunting, and she wouldn't catch or chase anything for him. She was more likely to play with the foxes than kill them, and may as well hand the fox the key to the hen house. Huh. She, the dog, was being fed ice cream by the children and was too soft. The owner told my dad that he planned to bring her up the field the following day and shoot her.
Bastards.
Be the Lord. Good old dad remained calm. Bought a round and returned to the lads. He hatched a plan with the boys. They snuck the dog out, had to bribe the bus driver to get him on board, abandon all the rest of the pubs for the night and come right home.
I bet the lads he's out drinking with love him, lad.
You're not bringing the dog, lad, are you?
Well, do you not want to go to the nightclub if to save the dog? Bring him with us to fuck.
Don't bring him.
He gets thrown out. Yeah. Pissing everywhere.
A few days later, my mum couldn't accept that she was living with a criminal dog thief, but she didn't want the dog to go back and get shot either. So she made my dad send money to the pub with a note saying, it's for the dog. Had that Springer 16 years, best dog ever. Sincerely, the daughter of Dog Robin Hood.
I tell you, the people of this podcast never cease to amaze me.
Bravo.
Jonah says, my family are stone mad into all types of hunting and fishing. We eat most of what we hunt, from deer, rabbits, pheasants, duck and woodcock.
Class.
Should always be careful when eating woodcock.
You should wash it first.
Yeah.
It needs to be clean, woodcock.
Yeah, of course. Mr. Woodcock.
Wild woodcock could.
Oh, wow. The places some of those woodcocks go. Oh. Wow. And Jonah says, glad to hear Maura used to go on hunts and there was a nice bit of scientific research thrown in about how the fox doesn't suffer as much as being shot and left wounded on occasion, as there's a lot of hype over activists and that these days. We have all guns and permits for hunting what we hunt and are members of the local gun club, so everything is above board. If you ever want to go shooting deer or anything, give me a shout. I'll happily organise it and we'll send you home with some of the meat we get.
Yeah, no, I'm up for taking
the meat. No woodcocks, though.
Taking the meat, yeah.
I'm staying away. I'm off the woodcock.
You're off the woodcock,
I'm off the woodcock for a while, yeah.
I would like to go shooting deer. I wouldn't be up for going on a dog hunt. It's just not for me, sorry.
Just give Joan a ring then, man, and go shooting deer with him there. Head off some weekend. You can head off.
Yeah, no bother. Right. On GAA shorts. Fiona said, around 6 or 7 years ago, our club changed the colour of the ladies' shorts. The ladies involved at the time asked, so the committee agreed and it went ahead. So now the women's and girls' section of the club wear blue shorts and the boys' men's section wear white. They both have the red stripes and the club crest on them and everyone is happy.
Yeah, big response to that one, Mara, last week in the mystery topic about girls having to wear white shorts. Mm. You know, dangerous when on the...
Time of the month.
Time of the month.
Tom, yeah, we didn't know. Now we know.
Now we know.
Nigel.
So we know, Nigel. Yeah. Owen says, I've seen it all in my time, from Liverpool boxers.
Have you, Owen?
This is on Mara's mystery topic. To lads wearing nothing at all.
Hey.
Cousin of mine went playing one Sunday morning. And I was like, are you not wearing boxers? He was like, cheer this spice. This lanting's for under 12. He had a massive willy lack. I swear to God, I was like, there's no way that's staying in your shorts. Like, so if you got tackled from him, like, it was like, oh, Jesus. And then I reckon his willy just played the ball away. He broke you up with his first leg. He won the ball with the second one. And then the third one just finished you off altogether.
3 foot of tackle. It's definitely some sort of a booking for.
Oh, yeah. It's got a yellow card.
Don't, it's in the rule book. Not allowed to slap people.
On sport and manner. Living it up, lad's shoulders, some corners. Anyway, Owen says, I was reading Colin the Gooch Cooper's book recently, and he said he never used to wear any underwear when playing matches.
What?
Absolutely nothing at all. Before one of the All-Ireland finals in which he played, he was given a pair of GA shorts that were too loose for him. He took them off and walked across the dressing room with nothing covering his bits to get a different pair of shorts. Shorts definitely must have been less see-through back in the noughties. Yeah, I'd agree there. I play a bit of soccer as well, and I find that the soccer shorts are made from better quality material and are less see-through than GAA shorts.
Hey, shenanigans.
Well, we'll have all the galas on. Oh, fuck the soccer. I don't care what kind of shorts you have. He also says, when you were discussing the topic, the first story that came to my mind was when my friend, let's call him Bill, was playing minor for the County. Everyone from the club went to the game to cheer him on. Bill always used to wear his lucky boxers, but he wasn't able to find them this day. Speak to me before he went into the changing room. He asked me what I think he should do. I told him stick on another pair of boxers and that the boxers he's wearing will not have any impact on how he plays. He wasn't too pleased with my advice and went into the dressing room in a huff. I assumed that he would put on another pair of boxers, but that wasn't the case. In the second half of the match, he was running through on goal. The opposition team pulled him to the ground. They actually caught Bill by his GA shorts, and as they came down, Bill went to the ground. Penis, balls, pubes, everything was on show. Bill decided to wear no boxers at all. I'd say Bill was mortified. I asked him after the match, how did he feel about the incident? He said he didn't care that the shorts came off and that he secretly delighted by what had just happened so he could impress the woman sitting in the front of the stand. Bill said to me, did it look like I have a big cock? I don't know how to reply, and I said, oh yeah, massive. Bill went away happy that night knowing that he could have impressed some women despite getting hammered in the match. Gas man. Fuck.
I couldn't play
with it flapping around. No way. You'd be ired as well with no boxers. It's not as bad as being ired in between your legs. If you have big quads like Quadzilla, like me, like, and they rub together, oh, it's terror, lad, a bit of ire.
I'd be afraid. What if it was a really cold day?
When
Bill was playing the match.
Yeah.
You know?
Billy Smallballs.
On renting and landlords, another listener was in touch to say, in our case, your landlord keeping secrets from you.
Ooh.
When we were in college in UCD, we lived just off campus, all six of us in a small cottage. One of the lads thought it was strange when a poem was left on his car with a single rose.
Da 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 da.
Over a few weeks, he ended up getting 12 roses.
Da 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 da.
And handwritten poems.
It was so fucking Seal. Back.
We had quite the collection. Initially, we thought it was a female admirer, but to our horror, we found out the identity of his admirer in the flesh. One morning at 8 a.m., as we were getting ready to go to college, one of the lads saw a middle-aged man, naked, in our back garden, wearing nothing, only a pair of black socks up to his knees.
Wow.
I'd prefer he was naked, to be honest. That's fucking
weird. That's fucking just disturbing. I mean, bad enough he's out in your backyard and not a sock on him.
Take
well,
them
actually,
off.
Sorry, he does have a sock on.
Not a sock on him.
It's a knee-high fucking black one.
Take them off. He stayed out in the garden for nearly 2 hours and was going at himself for the entire time.
That's a mega wank. 2 hours going at himself. He fucking red raw himself. He shits.
One arm would be massive.
Yeah.
The
turbo.
The lads,
turbo wank.
The lads kept throwing eggs at him.
He was batting them away with his cock. Baseball style.
They tried to put him off his stride, but to no avail. This definitely wasn't his first time out there, and it explained the white stain which appeared on the back door window a few weeks before. He turned out to be our neighbour. Nice we guy. Quickly identified him as our friend's secret admirer, as one of the lads had seen him lingering around the car, fully clothed that time, earlier in the month. But we thought nothing of it at the time. Not really what he had hoped for. Mm. We rang the landlord and they played dumb. Said they never had the issue before. We contacted the lads that lived in the house the year before and they had similar issues with the roses and poems. But it never escalated to the naked wandering in the garden. They felt a bit left out that they weren't good enough for such a show. We contacted the guards, who initially laughed at us as they thought it was made up. Things stopped for a while, but then he would stand outside our front door at like 6 in the morning playing with himself and would frighten the life out of one of the lads who was getting up early to go to the gym. We showed the attached photo to the landlord and she didn't do anything about it. So I hope it's still not terrorizing the UCD students. And he has attached a photo taken out the back window.
And he is wearing knee-high black socks. Like.
And he's definitely naked.
He's got his hand on his genitalia.
It looks a bit like Vladimir Putin.
It does from the back. He's got a bit of a receding kind of back, I'd say.
Hairline. It's a white male, definitely in his 40s, and he's at himself. He's got his left leg raised.
He's got it cocked. like he's standing like... He looks like a guy who's about to do like Life Drawn, but he's obviously on a rager.
So...
I mean, you know what?
For that, I guess.
This is shocking behaviour, right? And we have to condemn it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But any lad who's wanking for 2 hours, I mean, he's probably on Viagra or something, is he?
He shouldn't take that long.
No, shouldn't, man.
He's not very good at it.
No, he's been doing a lot of it, but he hasn't improved.
I can get her over like that.
Anyway, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports? You can get all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise there, twojohnnies.ie.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
You know I'm a complete softie. I love the story about the dog getting rescued from the pub.
I'm going to give it to the wanking guy. not even the lads who were terrorising that house. I wanted the mug to be hand-delivered with a poem and a single rose in the mug to the wank man. Nah, what do you think, Johnny?
Oh, you can't be condoning that. Give it to the dog rescuer, will you?
Fucking hell, this podcast's gone fucking soft.
Okay, sorry.
Give it to the lads who were terrorising wanking.
Yeah, okay.
Neil, you get a shout in this.
Yeah, I'm with
you. You fucking back me up, man. Let's go. We're in this together.
Now, before we move on.
Kid, wank guys.
Get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch. Email podcast at twojohnnies.ie.
Down in UCD.
Yeah.
Before we get in touch, correspondence on last week. A few people, we had a few angry farmers on Twitter contacting us. Maura, we're going to hand this over to you.
Yeah, that's fine. Welcome to my TED Talk. So basically, on last week's podcast, I was saying that farmers should get more funding to preserve biodiversity on the farm. Let marginal land stay wild and untouched and don't touch hedgerows. And I singled out dairy farmers for, you know, removing hedgerows. You know, dairy farmers got very annoyed at this. They felt they were unfairly singled out. And they're very annoyed at the minute because of the whole Glambia Antashka thing, which I'm not going to get into because everybody has a view on it. But I just want to say, lads, take it easy. It is a comedy podcast. Totally think that, CAP is the funding system that farmers get all grants for, and it pays farmers to make food from land. So I think CAP should be doing more to pay farmers for leaving land waterlogged or whatever. You know, the biodiversity is best preserved when land is untouched. So that's just it. And dairy farmers, you're grand. I drink milk. I like cheese. It's grand. But I'm just saying, intensive dairy farming can be not great for the environment. But a lot of farmers are doing good initiatives. And that should be recognised. And please stop
tweeting
me. You've
dug yourself out of a hole, Maura. Fair play.
Please stop tweeting me, okay?
I don't like Twitter pylons. If someone has a point to make on this podcast, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie, we'll happily...
Yeah, email us.
We'll
read it out.
Probably messaging Maura fucking wrecking her head on Twitter.
Yeah.
Can we move on from this? Because I haven't a clue what the fuck you're talking about to anybody. Maura, I didn't even know what a hedgerow was. I was like, hedgerow? I'm not into that.
Do you want to explain to Max what marginal land is?
Nah, come on, please. Can we move this on, please? Let's talk about fun stuff like fellas wanking in backyards.
We love the farmers, and we would be trying to give a voice to all those things that, like, we're not. And one guy said to me, why didn't you, you know, pull up Maura on her comment about hedgerows? Because we're having a fucking clue.
This and also, come, if we pull each other up on stuff that we don't disagree with, we'll be here, the podcast will be 3 hours of us just.
And it may surprise people to learn that myself and Smacks are not experts on hedgerows. But my dad is part of the Save Our Hedgerows group.
Go away.
Yeah, they had a big row with Éireann O'Dearn. Huh? Yeah, it's going on. So, dairy farmers, we love you.
Yeah.
We do.
And all farmers.
Yeah.
We love everyone, actually.
Yeah.
We're not just farmers. Well, we'll be here for another hour.
Yeah, can I just add in that, like, preserving Ireland's hedgerow and biodiversity is everybody's responsibility, not just dairy farmers, like, you know, grain farmers or tillage farmers, you know, sheep and cattle farmers, and that it was, you know, so look at kumbaya, peace and happiness.
Doctors, nurses, bin men.
If you're still with us after all that.
Solicitors, policemen, what are you doing for the hedgerows? Helicopter drivers, what are you doing?
We'll get on to the...
All right, weekly roundup.
Yes, thank you. Jesus Christ, I'm going blue in the face from hedgerows.
Something that Smacks is passionate about, his own birthday.
Yeah, magical that. Gotta say though, Bouncing Castle, thanks a million for getting it, organising it. Bit of a washout. Didn't come with a roof. Fucking thing was just, it was, to be honest, it worked out well. It worked out as a swimming pool in the end. You know, it was nice.
We were drowning.
I jumped in, got sopping wet. And I mean, instantly cold. Jumped in and went down the slide like twice. I was like, chattering, like my teeth were chattering. It was that cold.
Done now.
Couple of injuries, but
couple
of injuries. Bouncing Castles, very hazardous. You know, I just like to say that to people. Johnny also lied to the guy who brought the Bouncing Castle. He was like, oh, so is it for a kids' party? He was like, yeah, the kids are out next door. I was kind of like, your man definitely thought you had, like, killed kids held captive.
I told him the kids were with their mother. Yeah,
who lives next door?
He came to collect it. He was like, it's a great childminder. I was like, yeah.
I'm a good guy.
Because he had said to me, this isn't for like a 21st they're at, is it? I don't want people getting sick on it now. I was like, no, man, it's just a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
And then when he came to collect it, there was somebody's, your missus had brought in her nephew.
Yeah.
For a bounce.
Yeah.
And his little jacket was left.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, kids, what are you going to do, you know? Your mum was like, looks out. But look, we didn't damage the Bounce Castle. To everybody who messaged us, we got on in our runners for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then we realised and we took them off. Yeah. But the Bounce Castle man did say to me, it's okay in your runners, but I prefer if it was in your socks.
There you go. So we did,
Now we're going to trigger the Bouncing Castle community.
Oh, fucking, here we go. Pylon from the Bouncing Castle.
Maura, you know? I've got one for you. Do you call it a bouncy castle or a bouncing castle?
A bouncy castle. Do you call
them B-O-U-N-C-Y?
Yeah.
Bouncy,
yeah. I think I'm going to say it. Bouncy Castle.
Okay.
Johnny B, big week for you.
Got me vaccine.
You got a jab, and not from a ladder on town.
Just got the phone call. Asthma for the win.
Yeah.
My asthma.
How do I get the asthma?
I don't know. Can I kiss you?
Yeah, but could you not have been down there and just been like, oh, geez, I'm delighted to be getting the... Come here. You don't have one of them fucking spare there. Lad at home.
John, I would never take a vaccine.
But I feel a bit like, I feel like I've been left out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what good is one of us vaccinated?
You're going to have to make up an illness.
Okay. Gout. Will that get it for me?
Severe gout.
Well, how would you feel? You feel fine, anyway?
Fine, yeah. They said wear short sleeve shirt. So I went in my sleeveless Graham Geraghty.
You did not.
Or the Trevor Giles.
Trevor Giles, yeah.
Trevor Giles meat jersey. I went down in that, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'd say they love to see that coming.
And then hello to all. My mother used to be a nurse. And then about five nurses came up to me and were like, tell your mother I was asking for her. And I'm sorry, lads, with the masks on and all, I didn't recognise any.
Johnny V, the nurse is going wild at the vaccine centre, right? Jesus. So. Right, we've got a big announcement now. This is big news for the podcast.
Yes, this is
serious shit. So, like, turn up or whatever, or turn off the... If you're driving a tractor, just turn off for a second to take in this announcement. Big news coming out of Two Johnny's HQ this week.
We are calling in the big guns.
Yes, Johnny, we're going up senior, boy.
The Two Johnny's podcast is moving to Spotify.
Yes, exclusively. Exclusively, yeah. It will only be available on Spotify
in the future.
Yeah,
Spotify is the biggest podcast platform in the world. And it's the number one place, like, if you want new people to discover your podcast.
Yeah. Want to grow the Two Johnnies community, man.
Spotify is the place to be. And they're going to help us. We've got access to expertise, to new guests.
Yeah.
All those Spotify original podcasts, we got access to those guests. And I'm just looking forward to...
Man, like, they better get... I want to get Obama on. Be like, so, chicken rolls, Barack. You know what I mean? I mean, your plaza are charging outrageous prices. That's pretty much first question for him.
And you're from Offaly.
Yeah. Just terminate the interview then. So on the spot.
If you have Spotify on your phone, just type in the Two Johnnies podcast and listen to us for free. And
so we can already see that like 60% of our audience listening to this podcast is actually already on Spotify.
Yeah.
So the other 40 will just have to download the Spotify app on your phone and it'll be
free.
The Spotify app is free and our podcast is free. Nothing's going to change. Content's still going to be the same. We're still going to be mad bastards.
No money changes hands.
Yeah. But for free.
Free.
We've got a couple of bob.
Yeah.
Not major.
But
we might actually be able to pay Neil.
Someday you'll be Neil the employee.
Yeah. So, someday you might have rights.
It's been chicken rolls up until now.
It's been chicken rolls and KC Sports apparel.
Wearing a very nice John Aldridge style jersey that KC Sports are doing. Nice,
yeah. That's definitely worth 3 hours work, isn't
definitely,
it?
Definitely, yeah.
There you go.
Look, how are two lads from Tipperary going to break into the UK market, to the Australian, to the American, to the European market? Having Spotify on our side, when we go to tour, let's just say Australia or America or whatever, they've got the muscle that they can say on the landing page, bang, everybody gets a little listen to the Two Johnnies. Like, that's just exposure that you couldn't possibly buy that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the evolution of the podcast, and it's good for our career, and we're really happy to be doing it, and I hope you're all happy for us. We're all going together. We're all getting on the big Spotify fucking blimp.
Yeah, it costs you nothing, lads. If you're not listening to us on Spotify, go into your app store, download the app for free, and we'll be right there.
Yeah, so from June the 14th. So you're getting this one and next week, and after that then it's just going to be Spotify.
Well, it'll be half episode on the following week.
Yeah.
Just to help you along.
Yeah. Spoon Fiji.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, you know what it's like. Irish people are laggers. I was the same. I listened to a bit of Joe Rogan, and then he transferred to Spotify, and I was like, And then I went and listened to it on Spotify and it was actually fine. I sighed for nothing, you know?
They better get Joe Rogan on this lad.
100%. In person.
Yes.
Get Joe Rogan in care.
I want to bring him into the Shamrock for a fucking dinner. You'd be like, who's this lad? Mr. Rogan.
He's very hard to impersonate. I can't do him.
Yeah, I know. He's a hard impersonation.
So, aliens.
Don't even try it, man. But yeah, that's the big news we have. From June the 14th, the Two Johnnies podcast will only be available on Spotify. We're delighted. It's big. Now, in fairness, I told the mother and stuff. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, Grant, that's okay. We'll move on. Big news.
It's big news to us.
Yeah, big news to us and the podcast community. And we're all going together.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening and supporting us. So
100%.
Now, let's rock on. We got a big interview.
Oh, one second. I've just read the bit that Maura's put in for the Patreon podcast. Maura, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this.
Oh, you doing this?
If you haven't signed up for the Patreon podcast yet, you are missing out. On last week's extra podcast, number 62, we're joined. It was my birthday, so we had to do this. I done a takeover, and we're joined by my other half, not Johnny B.,
Your other half.
Yeah, we were joined by Annie, and we asked her how she felt about me talking about her on this very podcast.
Annie, you've been listening to the podcast, obviously, most episodes. And how does it feel when you hear Johnny mention you?
I hate it.
Why?
Oh, I hate it. Because he makes out as if I'm like a lumberjack at home.
What do you mean a lumberjack?
I don't know. He's more feminine at home than I am, I'd say.
Thanks, Viv. But I'm very skilled.
Is he not the man in the house, no?
No.
He's the man from the TV that makes people financially savvy. Presenter of How to Be Good with Money, Owen McGee. Welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast.
Thanks so much for coming on. You're talking about one of our favourite subjects, money. Irish people love money. And you're our guru, you're our go-to expert here, Owen. So we want to know, what are the big mistakes that Irish people are making?
Well, I'm not actually sure that Irish people love money. Like, when you think about it, do we love money? We love it when it's ours and nobody else knows we have it. But nobody wants anybody else to do well. and people love to see other people doing badly. And between those two things, it means we don't actually talk about money all that much. Like, Irish people are fairly crap at talking to each other about money, about their successes, about their failures, about the things that are going really well for them, or if they've loads of money in the bank. And there's always that one lad, isn't there? Oh yeah, he's loaded, but he wouldn't buy he'd skip his round, or he'd be the one when he's getting in the round, he'd watch what the girls are drinking and he'd make sure he doesn't get hit with the tonic as well as the gin on his round. He just gets the gin. So we are kind of crap at talking to each other about money, and we could be much better at it. That's one of the things I love about the TV show, right? So doing the TV show, which is a show I present called How to Be Good with Money, people come up to me in the street now. Well, they did pre-COVID. Now they come up to me on Instagram instead. But they've started talking about money a bit better. And I think that's probably one thing that we're crap at in Ireland. But if you wanted to actually have real impact and change on your long-term financial future, we need to be more conscious about money. More conscious about the stuff we spend money on. How much crap do you buy and you see it in your house or your wardrobe or wherever it is and you go, I never actually wanted that. That was not stuff that, I don't know why I bought that. It's still got the tag on it or it's still in the box. And you're kind of going, why do I have this stuff? And I get accused all the time of being someone who, you must be a penny pincher. You must be an awful lad to be out with. You must be someone who doesn't spend a penny. No. I love nice things, right? But I'm very conscious of spending my money on things that add value to my life. And by not spending money on crap or things that don't add value to my life, I have more money to spend on the nicer things. So I think being conscious is a big thing, lads. I think that trying to be more aware of what we're spending our money on can make a dramatic long-term impact on our enjoyment of money, on our enjoyment of, I know it's very philosophical, but our enjoyment of life, to be honest with you.
Yeah. On the TV show, Owen, I've watched some episodes where people are completely like hopeless with money, and I see that a bit in myself. Maybe now I'm not as bad. I've hit 30, and like when I was like 23 or that, I was buying like t-shirts, getting one wear out of them. They were cheap t-shirts, throwing them in the bin, disposable fashion. But I see myself in a lot of the people that are on your TV show. What's the worst case that you've come across on your TV show, or what's the worst item even that you've walked into the house and went, here, like, you know, like I bought one of these can openers online that looked savage, and I was like, these are so good, I'm going to buy 6 of them and give them to my friends, and it cost me around 90 quid and they don't work
at all.
Right, well, you should have bought one, see how it worked out, and went back for the other 5. The thing about it is that we actually put the worst on camera. Right, so but for you, I'm going to correct you on something. You think that because you were crap when you were 23 with money, because you were 23 and now you're 30, you're better. It's nothing to do with the change in your age. It's to do with the new TV show that came out 3 years ago called How to Be Good with Money that you've been watching. That's got to do with. No, we do get a little bit wiser with age and we start to be a bit more conscious and we start to think about stuff. But some of the mistakes that people make, like I was only talking to someone about it the other day. There was one couple last year on the TV show last year, and they had borrowed 30 grand for a wedding, right? And this is all in the TV show. They borrowed 30 grand for a wedding, but they borrowed it 18 months before the wedding, right? Then they took the 30 grand, they stuck it into their current account, and they were using the 30 grand for life, but also using the 30 grand to make the loan repayments on the 30 grand. So they were using the loan to pay back the loan, right? And I was just looking at them going, whoa, that is really kind of mad. But people do mad things. Like, there was another couple 2 years ago and they borrowed money on the car. They had a car loan. And then they wanted to trade the car in. So they took a credit union loan out to clear off the car loan. So there was no loan attached to the car loan. So that they walked into the garage, they could say, no, there's no finance on that car. So they just keep doubling up and doubling up. So there are things that people do are really clever. Or else, and we've another guy this year in the most recent series who didn't like his bank, hated the bank, and they had had let him down. Sorry, I'm not a lover. But they had really let him down at one stage when he was in a financial difficulty. And his way of getting them back was he spent as much of his month every month as he possibly could in his overdraft, and that'll show them. It's like, and this is all on camera, and I'm like, really, buddy? And I was like, tell you what, if I had actually said to him, if I annoy you enough, will you write me a check once a month and send it to me? Because you're paying for the banker's holidays there. Like, that's what you're doing. And he couldn't see the rest. And it was brilliant, actually. That moment on TV was funny because his wife is sitting next to him. And she's more like, you see, I told you.
That's worse than anything you're going to say to someone.
People should know with a wedding, you need to borrow the money the week before, and then you invite the entire town, and then you've all the cash only presents and pay it back.
The problem was they got the money back, so they got the money so early on that by the time the wedding came round, they used the cash to pay the band and stuff that night. Like, they really had got themselves into an awful twist. Now, it's all covered in the TV show, so I'm not giving anything away that was behind the scenes, because I'd get in trouble if I did.
Leave the band out of it now, right?
Yeah.
Leave the band out.
They leave the band out, but they really struggled with it. And in fairness, massive turnaround for that couple, like huge turnaround for that couple during the show. And sometimes it's just a wake-up call is all anyone needs. They just kind of know, okay, I know I'm doing things wrong, and you know what else happens, actually, and this is just in general terms, what else happens is if you've got one person in a couple and you've got a relationship and you've got the two of them together and one of them is keen and the other one has no interest, sometimes the TV show wakes that up, or if people engage with me privately, it wakes it up and says, okay, actually, I need to take a bit of responsibility here, and that can change everything with someone's finances. The thing about it is, no matter what mistakes they make, whatever mistakes people make, most of the time they're fixable. And if they're not fixable, there's legislation and stuff that you can go through to fix them, and you'll be fixed in 5 or 7 years anyway. But the thing about it is sometimes people go through an awful lot of stress and pain because they're so worried about stuff that they could actually fix if they put their head into it. Now, it's not going to be painless to get out of it, but you kind of have to choose your pain. Either you're absolutely miserable and you're doing nothing about it, or you're miserable for a little bit longer, but you get out of it. And that's the choice you have to make.
Oh, yeah, look, our question is, break it down here. How much of your weekly income should you be spending on the crack?
Crack? Are we talking about the Irish not crack or the American crack?
Oh, thankfully, the Irish crack.
The answer to if people are using the American crack, it's probably all.
And the rest. No, so the thing about it is there's a couple of rules, and I'm genuinely big into life is for living, right? And if you think about, if you think about what I do in private practice and what I do on the TV, they're a little bit different. But what I would say to you is that you should, what we do wrong is we have the crack as soon as we get paid. I've worked really hard. I've just got paid. Let's go out and have the crack. And particularly now with the world opening up, haven't been out in ages, I want to go out and have some crack. Right? I want to go and meet the lads. And you know what? That works really well. And then you get to, say you get paid by the month, you get to the middle of the month and you've had great crack, but you've now got no money. And like the car loan or hits you, or the mortgage or the rent or whatever it hits you. What I would say is why not do the stuff you have to do first? Like pay the car loan first. Pay the mortgage first. Get that stuff. Like, people don't even realise you can change the day that a direct debit comes out of your account. You don't have to go with the day that they gave you. You can swap it round and you can change it to the day after you get paid. If you do all of that stuff first, any money that's left in your bank account is guilt-free crack. You can spend it on all the crack you want because you've got all your bills covered. Yeah. Right? And when you get really technical about this, you can move on to not just having the bills paid, but also having some savings put away for next year's holiday. Like, if you think about it, if you're going to spend, I don't know, if we get announced, if we're allowed to go on holidays this year, right? And by the time this goes out, I'd say we'll know if we're allowed to go on holidays or not, right? But if you're going on holidays this year, you have a choice. A week before, you need 1,500 quid and you go into the credit union and you can borrow it. Or let's say 1,800 quid, a deadly holiday, right? You're going on your own, you're going on a nice holiday, 1,800 quid. You have a choice. You can borrow 1,800 quid from the credit union or whoever and pay them back probably 160, 170 quid a month, roughly, right? Or you can save 150 of your own money now and in 12 months' time pay for the holiday from your own money and not pay interest, which pays for the credit union member or the credit union staff member's holiday next year. And the thing about it is we know we want to go on holidays every year, so why do we always wait till a week before to walk into the credit union? Why not plan it now? And if you plan it now, you just start to get ahead. And you start saying, and the thing about it is if you plan on going on holidays this time next year, 12 months from now, and you're going to spend 1,800 quid on us, and you can't afford to save 150 quid a month between now and then, you can't afford to go on holidays.
This is all very sensible. Like, I think you're underestimating how buck wild the Irish population are going to go this summer. Like, Micheál Martin opens the gate. We're gone.
And actually, we know, you know what? The opposite happened this time last year. So when you think about April last year, April was the first month of lockdown, right? It was the first full month of lockdown. In an ordinary month, Irish people, all Irish people, forget about companies, nothing to do with companies, not businesses, nothing to do with them. Irish people in an average month save 443 million euro. That's massive saving, 443 million. Each. In April last year, when everything shut down, we saved 3,000 million. We saved 3 billion quid in wow. 1 month, just Irish people, wow. right? We have more savings than we've ever had before. We've around 125 billion in savings. We've another nearly 20 billion in on post, right? So we've a massive amount of pent-up cash waiting to be spent. And we have to spend it. I've never been stronger about the idea of us spending, but not just spending randomly. We need to spend on, most importantly, things that add value to our life and we enjoy and are consciously spending. But more important again, I suppose, just as important, we need to spend Irish. There is no bloke yes. or girl sitting in Italy right now saying, I must try and support the local Irish economy. The only person in the world who wants to support the Irish economy as much as we do is us. And we have to spend our money in Irish hotels yeah. and Irish restaurants. I did a poll on my Instagram at one stage, right? And I asked people, what did you miss most about when you were in lockdown? And it was mad, the results. Like, everyone was talking about restaurants and hotels and doing this and doing that. But actually, when I started realising, and it was about 10 or 12,000 people replied in the poll. And when you really broke it down, what people missed was other people, but they missed doing things with other people, like restaurants and hotels and all of this. Yeah. Get out, go see people again. There's a whole pile of people you miss, right? I'll come back to that in a second. There's a whole pile of people you miss. Go and meet them in a restaurant. Spend money. Put up with a little bit of crap service while they get their stuff together. They're finding it difficult to get staff, but try and support as many Irish businesses as you possibly can, because we need it. The government needs it. Yeah, the economy needs it and everything else. The other thing I will say about that, though, we did miss people. There's also people we didn't miss. Don't let those people into your life. Like, just stop. Like, leave them alone. And when it comes to spending, and I'll go back on my box now, right? But when it comes to spending, there's a whole pile of stuff that we haven't been spending on in the last 12 months. Don't let that creep back into your life again. Spend money on stuff that's more important to you.
What's your thoughts on, because Smacks is always slagging me about being famously tight. But when I see people probably like working in cities or that, buying the lunch every day, buying the takeaway coffees every day and a bottle of water. And I'm always like, do you know what I mean? You can get water over the tap at home, like, you know. So when I was an apprentice, I was always watching, like, geez, I could save 30 quid a week there and all. So am I main or is that
No, like, if you think about it, I'm going to actually pull out my calculator here, right? So if you say 30 quid a week on, like, 30 quid a week is only 10 coffees, roughly, right? And if you multiply that out, that's around 1,600 quid a year.
Holiday.
There's your holiday, yeah? If you're making good money and you're paying the higher rate of tax, that's 3,200 euros of salary, before tax salary you're spending on coffee, if you're buying 10 coffees a week. Now, if your boss sat you down on the 1st of January and said, I'll give you a choice, I'll give you a 3,200 euro pay rise, or I'll pay for your coffee for the year, which would you choose? And when you think about it in terms of if you were handed all of the money today, what choice would you make? Now, I am not saying, particularly Irish coffee bakers, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't buy your coffee, right? But what I'm saying is does it add that much value to your life that it's worth a 3,000, it's worth saying no to a 3,200 euro pay rise? And if it does, yes. I do think that there are certain people that need their first coffee of the day and they deserve their first coffee of the day and you're going to work to do it. But it's the fourth or the fifth or the sixth coffee of the day I wonder about. Is it really worth that money to you? And I do think there's a whole pile of stuff. And what people we had a fella on the TV show, a different TV show actually I was involved in called This Crowded House, right? Brendan Courtney was the presenter. You know your man who does Lennon Courtney in Dunn Stores. And Brendan, good mate of mine, and he presented this TV show called This Crowded House. And the concept up behind it was there were people who were living at home with their parents or whoever, or they had moved back home and they were boomerang kids. And he went in, met them and says, right, we're going to get you out of here. We're going to get you renting or we're going to get you buying. And as part of their kind of journey and of true life, he brought them to see me for financial advice. And I started pulling their finances apart. There was this bloke, Shane, on it. And Shane was brilliant, right? Lad from North Dublin. And he was on 320 quid a week. And he was a smoker.
Oh.
And I looked at his smoking habit. And I figured out, and I remember saying it to him, I said, Shane, you've spent In the last 5 years, you've spent 26,000 euros on cigarettes.
Way.
And he was, what?
Wow.
And he said, I've never seen 26 grand. He says, you have spent 26,000 euros on it. And I said, not only that, based on your wage in the last 5 years, you could have stayed in bed for 18 months. You could have not gone to work for 18 months if you were a non-smoker, and you would have taken home the same money.
Jeez, that is...
And what people realise and what people have to realise is that little things done very regularly make a massive impact, both positive and negative, and you need to decide what the positive and negative are. Again, spend your money on things that add value to your life, but don't spend your money on things that don't. Now, I gave up cigarettes 20 years ago. It's a hard thing to do. But believe me, when he saw the 26 grand, when he's gone mad about, actually, and this didn't make the edit, right? What he's gone mad about was, I told him that he spent, of that 26 grand, between 18 and 20 of it went to government in the form of taxes and excise duties. He was gone mad about that. But he is, but this is the thing. Like, we spend our money and we spend it on stuff that doesn't make any difference to our life. Yeah. And if we'd have more to spend it on other stuff. And I know we keep driving home the point, but really think about it as the world open up. What's the stuff we miss? Like, I love Croke Park, and I love going out with the lads and doing that and having a few pints before the game and a few pints and getting the train home and doing all of that. And I really miss that. And as soon as I'm allowed to do it, I'll be doing that, and I'll be doing it big style. Like, I'll really enjoy it. But, like, there are things that I'm not letting back into my life. Why let them back in?
One of the things that we've noticed from traveling and stuff like that is, like, we go to America, we want to book a car. They're like, have you got your credit card details? Now, nor me or Johnny have got credit cards. We just have the debit cards because, like,
I told you I was tight.
Yeah, we're tight and we have what we have. But, like, we've heard of, like, some of our friends have ran up credit card debt, stuff like that. Now, my mother always said, like, I was to never get a credit card. And I do what my mammy tells me. So am I right to not have a credit card? Or is there, like, a way that you can have a credit card and be clever with it or something? Like, is there a hack we don't know about them? Or are they just bad news?
Look, you know what? Someone posted on Instagram a couple of months ago, do you think the credit card companies realised the impact that Owen McGee had on the cancellation of credit cards this year? Like, people reading the book, like, I hate credit cards. Yeah. Like, I really hate them. And you know what the problem is? You're talking about the hack and the thing and what can you do and the tricks you can do with credit cards. Yeah, credit cards can often give you 56 days of interest-free loan, right? If you pay it back on time, you put it on today and you pay it back on time, you can get up to 56 days. Absolute crap, right? What the credit card companies want is, and I always get one of them coming at me on Insta. Insta's where I live, by the way, right? Yeah. Just from a social media perspective. But I always get someone coming at me on Insta, oh no, Owen, if your credit card is used correctly, it's a very good, beneficial financial tool. Yeah, and you know what? The credit card company is absolutely delighted for you to tell your 10 mates that all the time. Because I would say less than 5% of people actually use a credit card properly, right? Actually use it in the way that is beneficial to them. And the credit card company is working on the basis that 95% of people won't.
Oh, and so for you, is it a hard no for you?
Absolute hard no. Total hard no. I definitely shouldn't be saying this, but there was a credit card company came to me recently and asked me, would I do some work with them? you're getting that without me. Asked me, would I do some work about teaching people how to use it properly? There is no way to teach it. And, like, they were going to write me a decent check, but there's no way to do it properly. Like, because even the people who use it really, really well, the first time life happens and something goes wrong, the credit card is the easiest one to put money onto. The credit card is, like, there's people who put everything through it, their diesel, their groceries, their everything. Yeah. They get these cashback awards and all of this stuff going on, right? And then something happens, they go, every month for 10 years, they've been clearing off the loan, they've been clearing off the debit, and they've not charged any interest and been clearing it in full. And then something goes wrong, and it's the first thing that doesn't get cleared off. I was talking to a woman this morning, actually 79 years of age, and she has a credit card balance because of just that. She was doing all right, and then she got caught out. It's unlikely she's listening to this, right? But she's 79 years of age, and I just felt so sorry for her. I felt so sorry for her. I have to say, like, she's going, oh, what am I going to do here? And she was, like, she's coming to me because of the stuff I'm doing in the media, and I'm going, well, this is the only thing you can do. They're just awful. They're terrible things. You guys probably have a bit of cash. You probably have a bit of cash in your bank account when you're over in the States.
I know.
Right? You go to...
We wouldn't be too bad, like, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hard old stuff. No, you know yourself.
But I do want to put this one to bed, right? When you arrive to the car rental desk, if you don't have a credit card,
yeah,
they want you to take out the extra payment insurance thing, right? The excess insurance. And if you don't take out their excess insurance, they'll want you to lodge some money with them just in case you bang the car and they want to have some security, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Now, people would say, if you have a credit card, you don't have to come up with that 1,500 quid or whatever it is. Yeah, that's right. And I get it. I would say if you don't have 1,500 quid or whatever the excess is going to be to spare, maybe you get a credit card, but you cancel the bloody thing as soon as you come back off your holiday. Like, if you really want to use it for the sake of a holiday, use it for the sake of a holiday, but incredibly disciplined, and except you're probably going to get hit with the stamp duty and everything else on it too. So I'm not a fan of credit cards at all.
One of the big ones we have is, and we're hearing about it all the time now, first-time buyers, mortgages, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
People have told me that, like, gambling apps, like you say, you know, any of the gambling apps on your bank account, showing up in your bank account, is like big no-no for a mortgage. What do you need to get a mortgage, and what are the no-nos?
Gambling is a no-no. I had a fellow one time say to me, his mortgage actually got refused, and they said it was the gambling, that you can see the gambling. If you're willing to bet with your own money, the bank is a reasonable assumption. The bank is going to look at you and say you're going to be willing to bet with theirs, that when you're due to pay your mortgage next month, you might actually use it. Now, just to say, things like the GA Lotto and stuff aren't things you're going to get dragged into putting, doubling up and tripling up on it, right? So that's not really what they're...
Yeah, no, 100% support them.
Absolutely, yeah. But what I would say is gambling is a no-no. That's not... I did have a fellow one stage who got refused his mortgage. He goes, but sure, I'll show them my online my betting account. I'm doing well. They're like, no, you're not getting it, right? But now, having said that, there are people who will get their mortgage and will be sitting at the end of the bar and will say to you, that's crap, you can definitely get a mortgage with gambling on your account. I did. It's the thing about the gambling in particular is it's the one thing that if they're kind of iffy about you, or they don't have the money to give out, or they're in a crap position, I'm talking about the bank, they'll use it as the excuse. Mm. So just, if you're going to bet, but don't do it online. Don't do it, just keep it separate. Do it in cash and walk into the bookies. But the things that you need to be ready for, if you're a first-time buyer and you're looking to get it, make sure you have clean bank statements. Clean bank statements means that they don't look like the money comes in, the money goes out, and you have nothing for a month. You get paid again, it comes in, it goes out, and you have nothing for a month. That's not a clean bank statement. It's where you're carrying a decent value or decent level in the bank account all the time. You're meeting the payments. As direct debits come in, they're being paid. Overdrafts are another one. If you have an overdraft, is for emergencies. If you're always in your overdraft, you're always in a state of emergency. So banks don't like that. Right? If you've got loans, you could be in trouble. Because people think, oh, it's only an 8 grand loan. I had someone who had an 8 grand car loan, and the amount of mortgage they could get was half of what they could have got if they had had no car loan. It wasn't the 8 grand, it was the 400 quid a month that was killing them. Because the 400 quid a month was coming away from what they could pay off the mortgage every month. So that's one of the things. A good one, actually, it's an interesting one. When you think about if you're in a couple, right? If you're in a couple and it's getting a bit serious, you might want to talk about, like, have you ever been with someone before? What's your past relationships? And who were you with before me? All those things, right? That's your choice what you want to do with that. You have no choice when it comes to financial history. Whatever about relationship history, financial history is really important to talk about. I have seen so many people fall in love with each other, fall in love with a house, put the deposit down, get the mortgage application in, and then the mortgage provider comes back and says, oh, there's a bit of a problem there on your financial history. And I'm telling you, if it's the bloke, the women go mad at them. Like, they go, absolutely, what do you mean? I knew you'd have a problem. But honestly, what happens is you fall in love with this property, and then the mortgage provider comes back and says, there's a problem on your credit history. And you're going, oh my God, this is awful. And then you say, oh yeah, I remember I went to Australia and I left a credit card behind, and mammy never rang me and told me that the credit card company were writing to me. And that's one of the real obvious ones that happens all the time. If you have never done it before, go on to icb.ie, Irish Credit Bureau, icb.ie, and go on to centralcreditregister.ie and request a financial record of you, right? And actually, if you're in a couple and you're wondering about your partners, this is a great one. Say, I was listening to two Johnny's talk to Owen McGee, and he said you should get this done. So when you go home this evening, I was listening to that, and we should do this. And then in 10 days' time, this report comes out. Now you know what the banks know about you. Okay. Yeah. And you can say, oh, I got mine today. Did you get yours today? Give us a look at yours. And you can see what's going on. The thing about it is that having a problem with your financial history in the past, the reality is that if you can go to the bank up front and say to them, I had a problem. This is what it was. This is why it happened. And this is why it won't happen again. I'm not saying you're grand, but you have a much better chance than the bank coming back to you and saying, we've identified something you never told us about. Because then they're worried about what else have you not told them about.
Thank God, Owen, you've just put me at ease, because that car loan I got out and didn't pay back a good few years ago, I can now stand over and say it's okay. I did eventually pay it back, by the way, through a credit company.
And also, when you're talking about a clean bank account there, I thought you were going to say, like, no Pornhub subscription.
Do you know what, actually? It's funny. But you know, someone was telling me recently that Pornhub only take crypto now. They'll only take Bitcoin if you want to go premium, right? Geez. And there was a mate of mine was talking to his 16-year-old nephew. And he said, listen, do you know what the lesson is to learn there about Pornhub and Bitcoin? And he says, what? And he goes, it's 2021. Nobody needs premium Pornhub.
Save your money. Okay, well, we're going to move it slightly sideways onto another topic. Yeah, you're involved with your own GA club.
Yeah.
And we want to know, how are you saving money and how are you making money?
Yeah, well, actually, in the last 12 months, I've pulled away a little bit because it's just the work thing has been a bit. I was chairman of a club called Aylmer Gales, which is an amalgamation club between Balteague and Allenwood. And Balteague, I was on the executive there and would have had a lot of things. Making money, I'm going to be honest with you, one of the things we got a lot of support from is local council. And we've been very good about the grants and we've been very good about drawing them down. And that's done really well for us. And you need to have the right projects to do that. You need someone who really is clued in. But also, the county councillors love to be invited out to things in the GAA club. And I would strongly say you nourish those arrangements. And it's nothing, I'm not talking about anything brown envelope crap here, right? Good, solid community events. And when you're having a community event or you're having a big event in the GAA club, make sure all of the county councillors invited. And they mightn't all come, but bring the TDs as well. They mightn't all come, but it's well worth having them there because you need to nourish that relationship, because it's just about getting guidance about how to do things right. You're not looking for favours. You're looking for guidance about what works and what doesn't work, and that's it. So
you're also
looking for
favours.
Yeah.
It's the guy.
But also, it's sometimes, do you know what? Like, sometimes it's about everyone understanding that the GAA club does need money. Right? And the GAA club needs money to run itself. And sometimes members think, sure, Croke Park must be sending us down money. No, we're not getting money sent by Croke Park, right? You need to raise money, first and foremost, within the club itself. We did a thing, I did do a video for Balteague last year, where as lockdown was hitting, and I went out and we stuck it out in their social media, and I said, it was basically local businesses. And I said, local businesses, whether you've supported the GAA club in the past or not, we want to support you now. So please get in touch with us. We're going to promote you across our social media platforms, because it's time now for our members to support you instead of the other way around. And we did a drive there and we pushed it out. We do have to remember, I know it's very cliche at this stage, but we're all in this together, whether you're a GAA club, whether you're a local business. And I don't want to go on about it too much, but I can't stress enough. If you like being able to walk into your local shop on a Sunday morning and buy a newspaper, you need to support your local shop, because they're the only one who's going to be there. You're the only one who's going to support it. Your local restaurant, your local whatever. Keep, like, whatever about Irish business, local business is even more important again. And GAA clubs is a real example of that. The next time you're down the GAA club, whenever you're allowed, whether it's on the walking track or whatever else, just take another look at the signs, the advertisements around the pitch, and see which local businesses are supporting the GAA club. And if you're a GAA member, support them if you have an option. I loved the fact that I got on, again, an Instagram poll. I asked people, if you could buy the same product from an Irish company and an international company, exact same product, but it was slightly more expensive from the Irish company for the exact same product, would you buy it from the Irish company? And 86% of, again, more than 10,000 people said, yeah, they would. And I think we need to bring it right back to the GAA club, look around the pitch, look at the companies. And you know what? Let's be clever about it too. If you're going into the local chipper who supports the club as opposed to the other chipper that doesn't support the club, tell the chipper, I'm actually coming in here because you support the GAA club and these are difficult times, or whatever it is, whatever the shop is. And just be conscious about what's going on, lads, and the fact that businesses need us.
You've got the whole GA club nailed down there, because I tell you, when our treasurer comes along, people cross the road for fear he'll shake a bit of money up. Before we finish, just real quick, I've two real quick questions, Sean. Where should we save our money? Bank, credit union, post office, where are we putting it under the mattress? I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. You have to. The first thing you need to decide when you look at your bank account is there any money in my bank account that I'm not going to use in the next 5 years? If you're not going to use it in the next 5 years, then it does not belong in your bank account. And in really simple terms, I know we're finishing up, right? Really simple terms. Say you have 10,000 euros. I know it's a big number, right? But say you have 10,000 euros. If you get half of 1% interest on that, which is a really good interest rate for 5 years, in simple interest terms, that 10,000 euros is going to turn into 10,250 euros. Now, inflation, the cost of your shopping, is supposed to go up by 2% a year. If the European Central Bank do their job properly, it'll go up by 2% a year. In simple interest terms, something that costs 10 grand today, because of inflation, is going to cost 11 grand in 5 years' time. But your money in your bank account has only gone from 10 to 10,250. You've lost 750 quid. And what I'm saying is if you're going to spend the money in the next 5 years, grand, leave it in your bank account. If you're not going to spend it in the next 5 years, you need to go into something like, and we could spend a whole 45 minutes, an hour talking about this, a no-brainer 60-40 portfolio. You need to buy a tiny bit of thousands and thousands of different companies worldwide. And that's what you do. And then you get a better return. You can't afford to take the risk of doing it for less than 5 years. You need to leave the thing breathe, because you have a 99.6% chance of getting a positive return over 5 years on a 60-40 portfolio. So what I'm saying is we make a massive mistake in this country by leaving money in what's a short-term vehicle like a bank account for a long-term goal. And again, very quickly, child benefit is a simple example. 140 quid a month. 1%, 18 years, the child's going to college. If you put it in a bank account, manage to get 1% over 18 years, it'll mature at 33 grand. College costs 50. If you put it into a 60-40 portfolio and get 4% per annum, you'll have 44 grand. If you had picked one of the very popular funds and it matured last September, 66 grand. Like, it's the same money, just doing different things and using the right vehicles. Long-term goal, long-term vehicle. Short-term goal, short-term vehicle. Bank accounts and on post and credit union are short-term vehicles. Just be clever about it, lads.
Oh, right, I'm going to put all mine in Bitcoin anyway. So we'll see how we get on. Yeah.
Well, just if you've got Bitcoin available, just you stay off the Pornhub, will you? Because you'll just be tempted.
You'll have it all gone on Pornhub. Owen, thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And people can find you on Instagram and How to Be Good with Money. Back on TV, I'm sure. Yes.
Actually, that's a good point, guys. Have a check out my Instagram, because we are looking for people to be part of the TV show. The casting is starting as of now, and I will have details on my social media about how you apply to be part of the show. And I'm sound enough, am I, lads? Like, you'd be grand enough.
You're a nice guy, Owen. You're a nice guy. I'm going to be hitting you up for some financial advice, because I didn't even get onto pensions yet. Thanks a million, Owen.
Oh, thanks, guys. Very much.
And don't forget, Owen's book, How to Be Good with Money, is also available now, and you can check him out on the Instagram too. Give him your queries. He'll get on to you. And if you want to be in his new show, hit him up. He's been to Kappa White and Kappa More, but he's never been to Cappuccino. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! Young fella.
Well, no
sign of your training last night.
What? Yeah, I was busy.
Or was it that it was raining?
Combination of both.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I nearly preferred playing in the rain.
Why?
You could slide.
Slide?
Jeez, I used to be some man to slide.
Yeah.
Quickest way to travel.
Sliding?
I could slide faster than any man could run.
Wow. So you just slid around the field.
I could out slide any man. In fact.
Would you have like sliding races?
Try it.
Okay.
Try it the next thing.
I'll try it.
Now look, the field will be wrecked after you. But look, you're going to have to break a few eggs if you want to make a promise, you know? So
an omelette.
Now.
I don't need a sliding to work on AstroTurf.
I don't know what you'd be at fucking burning these days. Now, do you want news?
Yes.
America.
Yes.
Nevada. Right?
Mm.
Which is Nevada, which is Native American for... which is Native American for Big Truck Burger Pepsi Cola.
Wow.
Nevada. Things are starting to open up in America.
Mm.
Big truck shops, burger houses, Pepsi Cola rooms, all those American things.
Pepsi Cola.
And brothels. Yes.
Sorry?
Brothels. Whore houses. As Declan Ernie song says.
Oh, wow. He's going to love being linked with that.
Brothels. Can't live in them. Can't live without them.
When did he say that?
I think it was him. Could be Usher. Do you know Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada, the land of Pepsi Cola. Brothels are legal.
Right.
But only out the country.
Okay.
As a fact. So not in the city, not in Las Vegas or in Reno, but out the country, you can saddle away.
Shiny Mac.
Talk about rural regeneration. Oh, we want to get the small towns back in business. This is genius. No longer will Dublin have all the money. Where are you going in your stag? Mount Mellick. But it's a kip. No, it's not. Because you can do loads of riding. If you legalise the old job, maybe like you say leash, for example, you could save leash.
Save leash.
No more lads leaving for the city.
Stay in leash.
Stay in leash. Write it out.
Literally.
And some Christian people will say, you know, this is wrong.
Yeah.
These people are going straight to hell. Well, they're already in leash. So
they haven't got far to go.
Seems like more of a sideways move, to be honest. No, look, all joking aside, places like the Midlands, small towns, they need something.
Yeah.
This could be it. Nevada has 20 legal licensed brothels all out in the small towns. And they've been closed for a year with COVID. Now, I was talking to one female employee of the Chicken Ranch. That's what they call it. I don't know if they're, you know, lads can pretend that they don't eat a few nuggets or something, but she said she was making 100 grand a year working there.
Wow.
Into their pocket, right? But last year she had to work a square job. 20 grand is all she got. Jeez. Now, when she says a square job, she means like a regular job. Not like around here, we'd be saying, you know, Paddy the Pickaxe.
Yeah.
27 years with the council, never left a square.
Yeah. That's a square job.
That's a square, handy number, as we'd say. A square job, yeah. I'd say there's more chance of that pickaxe making contact with aliens than with, than with concrete. But she's only back on the job now 1 week. She's after making 5 grand. And that's after the Chicken Ranch take their 50% cut. They're taking half.
Ooh.
Who's riding who?
Huh?
So there's 60 women work there and they rotate. Like they go to the different ones. I don't know if they physically rotate.
On some sort of mechanic.
Yeah, I don't know. But their website says the 17-room brothel includes a common area where men can be entertained in an indoor jacuzzi while women spin on a stripper pole under strobe lights.
Whoa.
She's not a fucking cooked chicken, like. How much is it?
Rotisserie.
That's a bit much.
It is.
Well, she said it's great to meet other women again because she don't have any friends who aren't in the business. Okay. She said they don't understand. But I tell you, there wouldn't be enough chlorine in China for that jacuzzi, I'd say. Huh? You wouldn't let the ICA in to do aqua aerobics after that. Like. Look, we were brought up saying it was wrong to be paying for
yes.
the ride, you know. Yeah, but like, how many fellas lost half a farm over the ride? You know what I mean? Nothing funny about it.
No.
Local news.
Yes.
Local news. Dan got the jab.
Oh, Dan Bryan.
Yeah. They're set up. They were sent out at the hotel in Bali.
Yeah.
And the vaccine, he said it was the best day he ever had in that hotel. Awful spot for a function.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Okay.
I was at the squirrel's wedding there.
It was the squirrel?
You know the squirrel? Brian. It was nuts. Huh? Huh?
Fuck off. Fuck off.
I know, it was terrible. Faggy helping blast the priest. The priest said, toast for the bride and groom. Faggy told him he was a disgrace. He said, how is everyone else getting roast beef? And they went to blows anyway. Now, the priest was from Limerick. He was able to fight. Faggy bust a large bottle of cider over his head. Well, I bet him out the door.
Did you?
I told him, if he ever wasted cider like that again, I'd murder him. Large bottle of cider at a wedding. Oh, that could be €5.
Yeah. 5.20.
Pure waste. My main problem is that function room is too warm. It's too warm. I was sweating.
Yeah.
They're pumping out of me. I couldn't get drunk. And we were out dancing. I was down to me best. She wanted to keep dancing. I said, Jesus, I'm down to me underpants. I thought I was going to overheat. And I said, if he puts on La Bamba, I'll have to get the big fella out.
Oh my God.
I'll have to get the big fella out. Oh. I'm going to overheat.
You're on fire.
I was sweating like a cork man during the collection, huh?
Noel, thanks a million.
Good luck.
She pissed off the dairy farmers this week so much so that she's now switched to drinking almond milk.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mara.
No,
what?
Say it ain't so.
What's your mystery topic this week?
Yeah, my milkman has blacklisted me.
Pissing all over the milk cartons.
My mystery topic this week is allergies, because I have one allergy and Dr. Google
dairy farmers.
Well, actually, no, I have two allergies. I'd still date a dairy farmer, you know.
Okay, like, there we go.
I just make them plant, you know, lots of biodiversity. So anyway.
Leave it.
Sorry. I can't help it. It's like Tourette's. Okay, right. So I have one allergy, right? And Dr. Google says it's not an allergy. Now, I want to, before I get into what my allergy is, I want to know, do you have allergies? Have you ever had a bad allergic reaction to something? How do you cope with your allergies? Would you ever get allergy testing done, or have you already got it done? And do you think that some people overinflate their allergies? I can't eat gluten. Oh, I'm gluten, you know, allergic to it. All that, where it's just bread makes you a bit bloated. And actually people who do or have a, you know, an intolerance for gluten get quite severe reactions to it and spend a lot of time in the toilet. So, my allergy is I'm allergic to sheep's wool, and which is very weird considering my first pet
lanolin
as
in sheep's wool.
Yes. So I spent a lot of time around sheep as a child. You know, I would, like, they were my pets, whatever. But one time it was kind of cold at night and I went to the hot press and got a wool blanket and put it over me, and then woke up the next morning with my eyes looking like really droopy. You know my Basset-Hound Ted, his droopy eyes? That's exactly what I looked at. And of course my dad laughed at me and didn't bother bringing me to the doctor. So I just presumed I'm allergic to wool, because I've had several reactions to it. Like, I have to wear, this is actually a thing, vegan hiking socks.
What?
Yes, because most hiking material clothing has wool in it. But, like, I have, my skin just reacts to it. Like, I remember being in the shop trying on, like, hiking boots and socks. And I was saying to the man, it's like, now, are you sure those socks that you gave me don't have wool in them? And he's like, yeah, no, they don't. And I was like, yeah, because my foot's getting very sweaty and itchy here. And I was like, and he was like, no, they don't have wool in them. And then I just got thick and I was like, took off the boot. So I was like, no, that sock is right. And then he like went and looked at the thing. He was like, oh yeah, there is 20% wool in them. And I was like, hey. Now, apparently, according to Woolmark, so the Woolmark is a wool company, so they would say this, but they say that there has been analysis published calling debunking the myth of wool allergy, and they had said that there's found that no evidence that wool is an allergen. The study found that a skinny skin irritation caused by garments was due to the incidence of coarse fibres protruding from the fabric, and that this cause is independent of fibre type. Skin irritation can be just as readily caused by coarse synthetic fibres such as acrylic and nylon as by coarse wool fibres. But superfine and ultrafine merino fibres bend easily, causing minimal or no skin irritation. Well, sorry, wool mark, it does happen to me. I remember trying on a wool... I didn't know it was a wool jumper. It was like this really soft jumper in Oasis, and I was like, oh yeah, this is grand, that's not like the normal sheep's wool. Put it on, next thing I just started sweating, and I was like getting all red and itchy, and I took it off and I looked at the label, it was like 100% lamb's wool. So I was like, and then I had to wait for my skin to calm down before I could put my clothes back on. So anyway, wow. Yeah, so this is interesting. Like when I was googling can you be allergic to sheep's wool, there's other things that you... This is the Google prompted. You know the way they give you suggested searches? This is what comes up. Can you be allergic to sperm? Can you be allergic to water? Can you be allergic to alcohol? Can you be allergic to sugar? Or can you be allergic to coffee? Now, it is a thing. You can be allergic to sperm. Apparently, it's rare. But in some cases, people do have... reactions to the proteins in their partner's semen. And
can you be addicted to sperm?
Depends what kind of girl you are. Or boy, you know. So so lads, what are your... Now, Jenny B, I think you're allergic to milk, and I think Smacks, you're allergic to pollen.
Work.
But you can be allergic to exercise. That is another, like...
there we go.
Proven allergy. So anyway,
I was allergic to dairy when I was a child because of my asthma, but I've outgrown it, thank God. When I was young, I was on rye bread and all that fake milk and stuff. It's just, it's not a great buzz, but fair play, a lot of people have to do that. Thankfully I'm back on it now because I fucking love real butter.
Oh yeah. That's good shit.
Yeah, get that. Having a big row with herself over I get the Tipperary butter and she gets the Kerrygold butter. So doesn't that go there?
I love milk. I just like to say that. I had a big pint of milk the other day. I hadn't had one in ages. I filled a big massive pint of pie and I downed it. I said, Jesus, I forgot how nice milk was.
Did you get the full fat milk?
No, super milk. Super guy. Yeah, added vitamins.
Fancy.
Yeah, for the John. Yeah.
I have to say, not like taking brands.
Low fat super milk, sorry.
Low fat.
Yeah, low fat super milk.
During the summer, the Thurles milk is very good.
Oh, out of old school Carrington, lad. The only thing is, I used to drink that from the carrot, but you'd be fucking covered in it.
You just drink
the front of your shirt, your boxer shorts be wet with milk.
100%, you taste the difference in milk in the summer.
Yeah, Nina milk, good stuff.
Cows are eating the fresh grass. Yeah. On wool though, I do have a proper Aran hat that I bought on the Aran Islands. A woolly hat. It's the hottest thing ever. I definitely reckon if I wore it skiing, I could ski naked. It's the hottest hat ever. But made in Donegal, they don't make them on the Aran Islands anymore.
Yeah. Do you know the story behind the Aran wool jumpers? My brother lives on Aran Moor, so this is like he said that they're different knit patterns.
Yeah.
So that if a fisherman died and like they pulled his body from the water, they'd know which family he belonged to by the pattern of wool on his jumper. So
that amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You're allergic to horses?
Yes. I don't know what it is, Mara, in horses. And this is only, like, honestly, the last 3 or 4 years, I'd say, I've just started to become allergic to shit. My sinuses, I'd say, are in bits. I must actually get them looked at.
I really feel like, you know, your missus is into horses, whatever. Yeah.
It's not...
This is the first time... Smack's never allergic to horses until one day she was like, will you give me a hand mucking out the stable? And then his body just went,
Because I used to give her a hand with it, like, and all that. And I used to be, like, ride the horses with her.
And then you got sick.
No, honestly, one day I went down. No, I got hay fever. I developed, like, hay fever. And I was like, geez, what's going on here? Like, my eyes are, like, watering.
Wait, at what age did you develop hay fever?
20, like, 5 or 6, I'd say, 27.
Wow.
And I was like, what's going on here? And then she was like, you must have hay fever. And then I'd take, one of those antihistamines and I wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
But with the horses, then, this shit, I didn't really realise it until the day we went down and interviewed Davy Russell.
Yeah.
So he was the first ever guest on the podcast. So I don't know, was it like podcast episode 20-something or 30-something when Davy Russell was on?
17, I think.
17. Yeah, thanks, Mar. And we went down, done the interview with him, had a poke around. It was grand, good crack. He was like, come on, I'll show you the horses.
Yeah.
I had to pull in the motorway, get you to drive home.
Yeah.
My eyes were completely like gone, like swelled up, fucking water pissing out of them. And I was sneezing and coughing and spluttering the whole lot.
You were like a newborn kitten.
And that day I was like, jeez, is it horses? And I was like, no way. And then we'd done a video for The Boom Is Back, the song, or one of our songs. And
there's a clip where Smacks is wearing a suit riding a horse.
Yeah. And bang, we had to stop filming for like 3 hours that day because my eyes were gone again. And so I've developed this shit for horses. And I went down the last day, there was a new foal down the yard. And I was like, I'll go down and have a look at that now. And I put on a mask and I was like, should a mask, like, you know, no. Up in the house then in a ball.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly it is. I'm allergic to horses and I've also developed hay fever. So that's it. Regards food and alcohol and all that, there's probably stuff I'm allergic to. I don't look into it. I mean, I do a lot of shitting anyway. So, I mean, what difference?
I got a test.
I put this with, they're like, you can have bread. I'd be like, well, yes, I can. I've had it for the last 30 years.
Well, we know somebody.
Yeah.
Who was talking to like an old boy and the doctors told him, you're allergic to bread, and he'd been eating it his whole life and feeling sick after it and just been like, oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, I'm lucky that not and I have very badly disagrees with me. You know what I mean? So I reckon I'm not allergic to that. Whereas, like, I know there is poor people out there who have something. They're like, Jesus, like, I'm crippling stomach pains.
Not as bad as that.
Yeah, no allergy.
Oh, fucking serious?
When I was in school, in primary school, there was like a kid who had a nut allergy. And we weren't, just the whole school just weren't allowed to bring nuts in it.
Yeah, can't be in the room at all.
Yeah,
oh, that's
bad.
Serious. Yeah. Mm. My dad thinks food allergies is all a hoax. He's just like, people are just fussy about their food. He's like,
no way.
When I was young, there was nobody allergic to bread. And now, like, suddenly everybody's claiming they're, you know, allergic to bread. And
Is it gluten intolerant where you can't drink beer?
You can get gluten from
wheat intolerance, I think, is that. Wheat,
yeah. That'd be a fucking dose. No, Jesus Christ. They told me I was allergic to alcohol. I'd be like, come on, I've had a fair one. You know, I mean, it's hangovers. I'm allergic to pal. You've got this wrong. It's the next day.
I got tested by, you know, a kinesiologist.
Yeah.
Where they put the little sample.
Yeah, shake and shit over you and all that.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, but she told me I was allergic to bananas. So I gave up bananas. But lately I have relapsed.
Oh, you've gotten a banana addiction.
Oh, serious, man. Banana on that brown sourdough toast with a bit of honey and real butter. Fucking hell.
Well, you make me starve now, and I actually genuinely am hungry. Maura, can we open this out to the listeners of the podcast?
What's the weirdest thing?
Yes, that's what's the most mental thing you're actually properly allergic to? We want to know. Send it in here, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie.
I'm allergic to aspirin.
Oh, yeah? Actual aspirin?
Yeah.
Nope. Not me.
No, I wasn't suggesting that you were.
All right. Well, we're basically the same person. Just,
if anybody's got any weird
Neil,
shit.
Are you allergic to anything?
No, not a thing.
No.
Great life.
Yeah, you've got you're living wild, man. You're young, wild and free. Listeners, send it in, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. What's the weirdest thing you're allergic to? Thanks, Mara. Enjoy that one. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Get in touch using the #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2. Email us, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Instagram @thetwojohnnies. And also, Facebook. Don't forget, we're moving to Spotify.
Yes.
So just to save yourself the hassle in a couple of weeks' time, just download the Spotify app now and it's still free.
Yeah.
Still the same podcast, same time, same place, same everything. Same Noel, same madness, same shy talk. It's all going to be the same. Now we round off the podcast as is traditional with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
Johnny B on the mic tonight.
I have a story.
Oh, no.
County Down.
Okay.
Hourglass. Small fishing village, right, port.
Okay.
They had people coming in and out of the port fishing, and there was 30 lads from Ghana in Africa,
right,
who had an international seafarer's visa, and they were spending 9 months a year living on their boats in the harbour of Ardlass. And so after a while, people were like, how are you lads? What are you at like? You're just living on the boats. It's shit cracking that.
Yeah.
They got the 30 to sign for the GA club.
Unbelievable.
30 lads from Ghana, and they look like they're from Ghana. Like they're all big, strong, dark, handsome bastards, right?
Yeah.
30 of them down Gatrain. So they started their like separate Gatrain. They didn't just fall in with the seniors.
I was thinking that.
Straight away. But
fucking up the drills.
So, but just recently, there, I think it was last week, in they were playing their rivals in a match. And Emmanuel from Ghana came on corner forward. And didn't he get the winning goal?
No way.
Yeah, and it was a tight match. They won by 2 points. And
what
it was
story.
The only goal of the game.
Oh, man.
So it's an unbelievable story. So I was like, are they going to stay there for life or whatever? And they said some of them stay there and then some of them go home for the winter.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That's class. Great
story. Talking about getting a crowd of training.
Yeah, that's for Andy. If anybody wants to just dock boats and care there, we'll get on to Andy Maloney, local councillor there. We'll get you docked. I've got both yurt and dirt. Also, I just want to appeal now that I've heard that GA story. Give us more foreign abroad GA stories. I was enjoying that thread on the podcast.
We've got a great one from Georgia, a lad in shorts and a cowboy hat a sleeveless vest playing hurling. And they have the big sign up. A lot of GA clubs in America do that. They stick a big sign beside them saying, we are playing hurling.
Yeah, this isn't an organised fight with hurls.
3,000-year-old game. It's from Ireland. Yeah.
Keep getting those stories into us. But my yurt and dirt this week. Picked up the puppy. There is a new arrival in the Smack household by Ted Hastings has arrived. All 1 foot of him, all 5.5 kg of him.
He's cute.
He is cute. I'll post a photo on Instagram of him. He'll make his Instagram debut during the week. He's a yurt and a dirt. He's really nice, really playful, but like he eats mostly rugs. He's really into rugs at the moment, so I've had to like remove all the rugs from the house. And you know how I am about the house. Lads, my house is like a dollhouse. Everything's clean. I always like to keep it tidy. That's just the way I like to live.
The rug really tied the room together.
The dog has arrived on the scene, lad. The house is like, it's like we've a newborn. Everything is just fucking everywhere. Mom and dad, a little bit stressed, all right, with the dog. But he's going well. You forget about him, though. Sometimes, like, you know, puppies, they sleep a lot, don't they?
A lot.
And he's asleep then, and then I'm like, oh, like I could be watching something for an hour, and then like, shit, look down, and he's like asleep, covered in piss. And I'm like, oh, I forgot to bring you out. You know, sometimes I forget I have him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I was like, oh yeah, what's the, like I was drying myself the other day, I had my eyes closed, like, I was drying my hair, and next thing I was like, what the fuck's that pulling? It was like, he was down pulling at the towel, like he's everywhere, I swear to God. But he goes to bed at night.
John, you need some boundaries with the dog.
Man, he's so nice.
He shouldn't be seeing you naked.
I hate getting up early. So like, Annie got up one morning, like 7:30 on the button, the dog is like, clawing at like the kitchen door.
Yeah.
Now obviously I let on, I don't hear him. I mean, I don't want to be getting out of bed that hour. And Annie goes down and gets him. But he's so cute. He comes up then and runs up and he keeps like prodding me on the side of the bed until I wake up. So it's a nice way to be woken up. But Yurt is like, he's lovely, he's really playful, he's healthy, he's full of life. Dirt, piss.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Not on the carpet?
No, not on the carpet in the sitting room, no. He don't like that for some reason. He don't like going there. But we put out puppy pads.
Yeah.
And like, in fairness to him, he's clever enough. He goes on these little puppy pads. They're like big kitchen rolls.
That's really good.
Yeah, if he goes on them at night. But then during the day, like, he might just default and just piss in the bathroom. Like, you know, so. It's the early stages. I'll keep you up to date in the progress. But I have to say, I never thought I'd be like, you know, a dog parent type.
Yeah.
And like, you know, now I'm like, you know, go over to Mammy. And then I'm like, God, I hate myself.
Why?
I know, but it's nice. It's a nice, nice new arrival, freshen up the house. So yeah.
Yeah.
Great crack. Yurt and a dirt.
I don't have any dirt. Just a shout out to Tommy O'Donnell and CJ Stander, who are playing their last game for Munster today.
Yeah, emotional times. Good servants.
Yeah, big. And also Tommy. Have the jersey ready for you, lad.
Yeah, Kerrgier looking for you, lad.
Yeah, the football gloves, the hurling helmet, lad. Come on, Tom.
We've AstroTurf goal mouths now and everything, Tommy. There's going to be no stopping you.
Also, CJ Stander.
If you want. you know, the money's not great. We'll flog a couple of your pizza ovens or something for you, CJ, if you want. That's it for this week.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Another week down. Big announcements this week. It was great. We hope you're all happy. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
And from me, Neil.
Go on, good luck. We'll see you next week.
Good luck.